The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Quit time on your Wednesday. It's a free window tint Wednesday, the last one of the year here on Fan Run Radio. That means the Top 5 at 5 is brought to you this afternoon by our friends at GAJ Auto Graphics. Here's Marcus Young.
Thank you, Russell. At number one, we have Vols basketball tonight as the number 13-ranked men's basketball team, Tennessee, will take on McNeese State at 7:15 on the SEC Network at Thompson Bowling Arena. Currently, Tennessee is a 35-point favorite.
Hey! The McNeese State Cowboys are in town. Yeah. They are 2-5 on the year. Their wins are against Champ Christ. I don't know. It's abbreviated. I'm looking at ESPN here. And Lamar, they beat Lamar by 9. Beat Lamar down. Baylor beat them. Number 7, Baylor beat them 89-60 last week. So they only beat them by 29. I don't know if I'm taking the 35 points there. It's a lot.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Coming off a 3-point loss at UT Martin earlier this week, too.
I'll be honest with you. Betting with basketball scares me, Russell.
It's terrifying. Why would anybody do that?
No, I don't know, to be honest with you. Number 2, transfer portal is up and running as Tennessee actually loses 2 players confirmed, Jimmy Calloway and Jimmy Holiday. Jimmy's are gone. A couple other players rumored to potentially be in the portal as well. I don't really want to talk about them until I hear something for sure. But potentially opening up some spots for more offensive weapons, Russell.
Well, if you're just joining us, there was I'll call it credible. Matt Zenitz has broken a lot of college football news the past couple of years on Twitter. And he said that Lenith Whitehead and Justin Williams Thomas, running backs, were rumored to be, I don't know if they're entering the portal. Here's the thing. The portal doesn't open until December 5th. So these guys are just making their intentions known. I don't think those two have announced anything, but I think it's – I would be stunned if any of those four are back on the team next year.
Yeah, especially like you mentioned earlier how well Dylan Sampson's come along, kind of have a three-headed monster at running back.
Yeah, and you add Khalifa Keith there, so – we'll see. Maybe you find somebody in the portal, a fifth back that you can add to the equation. But it's kind of like quarterback, right? It's going to be hard to convince a guy, a running back in the portal, to come join you when he's going to look at that, right? And say, you got 3 guys that have already been playing for you. You're adding another freshman. Like, where am I going to get the carries? So, I don't know. That could be hard.
At number 3, West Virginia is expected to hire Ren Baker as their AD. Sources tell ESPN. Deal has not been signed just yet, but should be finalized in the next 24 hours. Baker is the athletic director at North Texas and emerged as one of the most respected young administrators in college sports since his arrival
his
in 2016.
Name?
Ren Baker, W-R-E-N.
Ren is in the
is it a
the
man?
Bird.
Is it a woman?
Is it a bird or a bloke?
I believe it's a man.
Is that a man's name? I've never met anybody named Ren.
Really?
I knew a dude named Rennick, but never Ren is like a Ren is a bird. W-R-E-N.
Yeah, it's a man.
Hmm. Okay. Ren Baker headed to West Virginia.
Seems we've talked about it before, obviously, with their situation. Could be looking for a new coach with Neil Brown.
I thought they said I saw a report on that. He's from North Texas, right?
Ren Baker is.
Yeah, I heard that Neil Brown was probably safe for another year.
Well, according to this article, it does say they haven't declared publicly what's going to go on, but he will be owed nearly $17 million of his contract if he is fired. So.
Hey. Ren and Stimpy.
Nice.
That's one of my all-time favorite cartoons. Didn't that guy end up being a real weirdo, Russ? The guy who made that?
Gee, Bear. The guy who made Ren and Stimpy, you're going to sit here and tell me that guy was a weirdo? No, I don't believe it. That cartoon seemed like it was something from the mind of a really,
stable person.
Well-adjusted, yeah. The guy who's really got it together.
What was that guy's name? Go ahead, Marcus. I'm sorry.
You're good.
We'll circle back to that later.
Yeah. Number 4, some FIFA World Cup news. Australia defeats Denmark 1-0. You have Argentina who defeats Poland 2-0. Mexico defeats Saudi Arabia 2-1. But with that one goal for Saudi Arabia, Argentina wins the group, and Poland is the one who moves forward as the runner-up.
Mexico going home, very disappointing, or very great news, depending on how you view that team. And France and Australia moving on earlier this morning, too. So a couple of teams punching their tickets to the round of 16, a couple of teams punching their tickets home.
Yeah, you got Argentina and Poland who are moving forward, France and Australia. And then, obviously, we have England and the United States. I'm trying to find some of the other groups. It's not showing me all the groups for some reason. But the round of 16 should be a lot of fun. I think with who we have seen move forward, it should be. Obviously, we've talked about the United States will be playing Netherlands Saturday, right?
Yeah, do you have an update on Captain America's testicles?
Well, so far he's been said to be day-to-day. I do have that information for you. So with his abdominal injury, as they
this is stoned. Called it.
But that actually leads to my number five. So the Snapchat photo that we saw all over the internet yesterday where he is celebrating the win saying, quote, "I'll be ready Saturday, don't worry."
Yeah.
Apparently that was his personal Snapchat. That was not a public one. An 18-year-old kid, apparently, Austin Dimitri, freshman at University of Pennsylvania. His mom apparently is friends with his wife.
With whose wife?
Mark Pulsic.
Apparently Pulsic's dad?
So this kid, Austin Dimitri, his mom is friends with his wife, Kelly. They were apparently teammates.
Why does this what does this 18-year-old kid bring to the
I have no idea what's happening. This is really confusing, Marcus. Christian Pulisic is the player. He is not married.
According to OutKick.
He is not married, I promise you. Anyway, so they're saying it's an abdominal. This is our best player, for those of you who don't soccer. We are in the round of 16. It's a knockout round. It's basically a 16-team tournament at this point. You win or go home. And they're saying it's an abdominal contusion.
Pelvic contusion,
it's pretty much leaked out from the team that he hurt his balls very badly. And looked to be in extreme discomfort.
He looked concussed to me.
Severely bruised testicle or testicles. I mean, I think we all, whether you like soccer or not, or like we can all see this is a terrible injury. And I don't know, man. I'm sure that here's the thing, man. Those guys don't like to wear cups. Football players don't like to wear cups because they're constrictive and you got to be, it's a very athletic sport. You know, you got to be able to run fast and everything. If you're not, you can either wear one of those and play the game, and that's going to restrict your movement a little bit, or you can not wear one. But then, like, if you've got a severely bruised testicle or testicles, right, you're out there running around.
No,
there's not
running.
A moment that goes by that's not in the back of your mind. You can't tell me that's going to affect, because look, the way we won that game yesterday was Christian Pulisic, who is not a very big guy. He's like maybe 5'10", 150 pounds. He throws caution to the wind and just charges the ball right in front of the goalkeeper, is able to knock it into the net, but paid a severe price for it. Is he going to, and that's the kind of effort you have to win these games. Is he going to do that again, knowing in the back of his mind, man, my balls really hurt. Like, well, I'm not even trying to. Like,
I mean, it's not just hurting.
Yeah, they're injured.
Yeah, and there could be a significant.
Might never have kids.
Well, that and it could be a significant amount of swelling. You think it's going to be easy to run with something that's going to be that tender, and it's swollen down there?
I mean, when it swells up, I mean, is it like, what are we talking about? Like grapefruit here, a baseball? Like, I don't know.
I mean, it.
Can they swell to that size?
Oh, yeah. I know a dude that it happened. He had a catastrophic injury like this to one of his boys.
I mean.
It swelled, yeah.
If, I'm just saying, like, if we can get it done, I will donate a testicle to Christian Pulisic if it means he's out there. Look, I'm 42.
Maybe he just needs to have it ripped out like Ronnie Lott.
As much use out of these as I think I'm going to. I've had my two kids. I don't need any more. I think I can get by with one for the rest. I would do that. That's how much I love my country, Bear. I would give Christian Pulisic one of my nuts.
I kind of feel like Russ that he just takes a page out of Ronnie Lott's book. How bad do you want it, Pulisic?
Cut it off.
Cut it out, and then get that bad boy sewed back up, and let's go. We got a World Cup to win, my man. We'll get you titanium one later.
Well,
a replacement.
He's already got. I think he's got big brass ones after that display yesterday, and he came back on the field after that. That happened in like the 40th minute. He was out for a while. You could tell he was in agony. He came back on and finished the half, and then they went to halftime, and he couldn't come back. Couldn't go through. So I mean,
yeah, that was definitely
pray for Pulisic's balls.
That was definitely like when the receiver just gives it up, knows he's going to get just decapitated, and goes ahead and still makes the catch.
I mean, I would almost rather take the head shot than the nut shot. You know, I mean, I think dudes.
I don't know. That's a tough one.
We put the pole in the field.
Because you got to think about it. And we put the pole in the field. I am curious.
Would you rather have a concussion in a sports injury, a concussion or a testicle injury?
Okay, now what are we talking about? Like, I'm thinking of some hits, some of the worst hits I've ever seen in football. One immediately comes to mind that involved a friend of ours. And I don't know that I wouldn't go ahead and take the nut shot versus what that one was. You know, one of those really bad NFL hits.
I don't know, man. It's your boys down there.
You take one of those bad NFL
hits, it's pretty much lights out, man. I mean, yeah, you're going to be a little foggy afterwards. That nut, like, you're just feeling that.
Oh, yeah, you're in the middle of a supernova with that. Days. Sure.
Take a big hit by Jeremy Banks or a shot between the legs by Joe Milton's cannon of an arm.
Nah, I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm don't be silly. You're going with Banks can hit me. I'm talking like an NFL. You've been knocked out, Tua Tagovailoa. Your arm. You're doing what does they call it, Russell? The fencing posturing versus getting your nuts squashed. I don't know. You got to factor in the long term damage, boys, to your brain.
What is the Dr. Bear? What is the because this has happened before, like in baseball, this happens a lot, right? Where guys have a testicle injury. Testicle.
It's called a rupture.
Ruptured testicle?
Yeah, a ruptured testicle. I wouldn't Google it.
The article I've read called it a pelvic contusion.
Yeah, we know what they're calling it, Marcus.
I was just saying.
What we're talking about is what the actual thing is when it's. Yeah, you can bust one of your balls.
They just don't want to embarrass the guy. They don't want the entire world thinking about
his junk.
This guy's junk.
Yeah.
You think he'll pull a Marshawn
Lynch?
It's got
to be embarrassing, too, you know?
Pull a Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, like if he scores against the Netherlands. Remember Marshawn Lynch's celebration?
Oh, no, man.
Don't think he'll do that.
Call
me crazy.
Awesome if he came back and scored.
It would. Hell yeah, it would. Because you're saying it's knockout round now. It's win or go home. Correct?
Yeah. Do or die, baby.
How many games have we got to win to get to the finals?
Well, 16. If you win Saturday, you go to the round of 8. You win that, you go to the round of 4. So 3 to get there, 4 more games to win the World Cup.
Whew. How cool would that be? I think it'd be cool because that coach is taking a lot of heat.
Berhalter?
Yeah.
The national team coach always takes a lot of heat, man. We've never been happy with national team coach.
I kind of feel like this is something unique to soccer, though. Like it seems like you soccer people really love getting on your coach more so than any other sport.
Well, I don't. I don't think Berhalter's a great coach. I don't think he's terrible. I mean, we made it through. We have not conceded a goal in open play in the World Cup.
Do you ever see any of the premier managers coach any of these teams?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, we're playing the Netherlands Saturday, are coached by Louis van Gaal. He's coached all over the world. He coached Manchester United for a couple of years.
Is Pep in it?
No, but I could see him coaching I could see him coaching the Spanish national team here in a couple of years. Right. I mean, that's a high pressure job. Like those European teams. I mean, they're go. You want to have a little fun? Google what the Mexicans are talking about with their guy today.
Oh, I wouldn't. If I were him, I wouldn't go back to Mexico.
Tata Martino. Yeah, he might just stay over there in Qatar.
Tata might go bye bye.
I think that's their coach's name. (865) 546-8200 your number. Yeah, you got about 20 minutes or so for the final free window tent Wednesday of the year. Jeff from G&J is going to join here after we talk to our friend Josh Pate and bestow upon some lucky listener a free window tent job from G&J Auto. To win it, all you got to do is go to fanrunradio.com/tent. Feel like I've read this promo a billion times. Probably have. This will be the last one, folks. FanRunRadio.com/TINT to get registered for free window tent Wednesday, and you could win the lucky prize coming up here in just a few moments. All right. Let's take our quick timeout here. When we continue, Josh Pate of 247 Sports will join the festivities, and we'll see if he can make sense of what's going on with this bowl scenario here in the cluster situation, which it is a cluster. That is the aptly named clause in the Rose Bowl contract. We'll get Pate's take on it all when we continue next right here on The Drive. It's Fan Run Radio. Stay with us. Radio, The Drive continues. Russell Bear, Marcus back with you on a beautiful Wednesday afternoon, rapidly becoming Wednesday evening here in East Tennessee. Pleased to be joined by our friend Josh Pate, host of The Late Kick. You can watch it live on YouTube. You can consume it in podcast form wherever you listen to podcasts. Josh, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm debating right now. I got to go to Atlanta later tonight. I mean, do you fly to Atlanta or do you drive to Atlanta? It's about a three-hour and 15-minute drive. Obviously, it's like a 35-minute flight. But when you add in airport time, rental car time, et cetera, I don't know that I just shouldn't drive. Anyway, that's my own personal, like, internal battle right now. But externally, things are good.
It's about the same distance from Knoxville to Atlanta. I can honestly say I've never flown, but maybe that 247 or the CBS private jet that they lend you, I'm sure that's always an option, right? It's just how badly do you want to drive over to the airport and do you want to leave your car in the hangar and all that stuff? These are the hard decisions Josh Pate has to make.
Look, I don't wish it on anyone else. Let me just put it that way.
Josh, I don't wish anyone else having to decipher what is in the minds of the College Football Playoff Committee or the people on the bowl committees out there. We're getting ready for conference championship games this weekend. I assume that's where you're headed with Atlanta on the docket. Josh, Tennessee fans had no expectations of being a part of that game after losing to Georgia. They did, however, expect to be a part of the College Football Playoff. Those expectations crashed and burned on a cold, windy night in Columbia, South Carolina. Now we're being told that a potential Orange Bowl matchup with Clemson, which would have been a really nice consolation prize for this fan base, may not come to pass because of a, and I'm direct quote here, cluster situation with the Rose Bowl and Ohio State. Josh, I know we don't know what all these people are thinking. Please, Josh, just tell us that this doesn't end with Tennessee playing Toledo in the CarQuest Bowl.
Yeah, I don't think it ends with that. And this is no knock on the fine folks at CarQuest. Let's make that clear. But I don't think it ends with that. I've never even delved into this world, this murky, murky world of bowl matchups and tie-ins and whatnot for three reasons, I guess. The first is I don't particularly care. The second reason is, It's very confusing and convoluted and political. And the third reason is because it changes a lot. And it's about to change again. So it's like learning a new locker combination, only to know that, oh, time for eighth grade, got to get a new locker. I just let other people figure it out. And once they know the matchups, I'm ready to hear the matchups. But I did not even know about this cluster situation. Now, don't hear it. Don't listen to me and get it wrong. I knew we had a cluster. I did not know we had a cluster situation.
It is appropriately named. We didn't know last night. We didn't know yesterday either until late last night. Basically what it is, the Rose Bowl in its contract, you know, they're supposed to take, I guess, Ohio State. Bear, you correct me if I botch this, which is entirely possible. They're supposed to take Ohio State, being the highest ranked non-playoff team, if everything goes chalk. But there is a clause in their they call it the cluster situation. If there's another big team closely ranked to whoever they're supposed to take, they can just take that team. In this case, it's Penn State, because it's a quote-unquote, it's what it's called in the contract, a quote cluster situation. They could just take whoever they want, which would make the Orange Bowl take the highest ranked team, Ohio State, which would bump Tennessee to the Cotton Bowl, which Tennessee fans are not excited about playing UCF or Tulane in the Cotton Bowl.
That's it perfectly.
Oh, I get this now. Oh, shockingly, I get this now. It makes sense on the surface. It makes sense what you said. I even get if the Rose Bowl preferred Penn State because they just got Ohio State last year and they may not be as motivated as Penn State. Okay, so that makes a little more sense to me. I did not know that's how it worked and how the chain reaction unfolded.
Here's the other. It's actually Ohio State is apparently the one driving this, and Herb Street alluded to this on the show last night. They don't want to go to the Rose Bowl, which, like, what have we heard for 30 years? Like, Big Ten schools would rather go to the Rose Bowl than the national championship game. But apparently Ohio State has communicated to the Rose Bowl, hey, our folks might not want to travel across country again. Why don't you guys take Penn State? This is what's being said, you know. So I guess my thought, Josh, is if we're to the point now where the Ohio State folks don't even want to play it anymore, what are we doing as far as giving the Rose Bowl so much sway in the world of postseason college football?
I don't even know. First off, where do they want to go in lieu of the Rose Bowl?
Oh, they want to go to the Orange Bowl.
Okay. So there's that classic Big Ten, South Florida, New Year's marriage. Okay. born in 2023. I think that where we are now is a convoluted mess that was born out of where we have been going for a little while. And as I have told you guys many times, we'll hash it out once more. When anyone wants to argue with me about expansion and how it will fix all this, and then I push back on the idea of expansion, they think the argument starts today. Like, I've gone back and forth with Clad about this a few times. They would say, no. Look, today moving forward, that's the only answer. And I'm like, okay, well, let's just pump the brakes a second, because this didn't start today. We used to have a world where opt-outs didn't exist. The term meaningless bowl game didn't exist. And then you went into the playoff era, and you defined success by making the playoff, and everything else was meaningless. We remember how that happened. And so my only pushback is not that it may be necessary to expand to make those games mean something again, quote unquote. I just don't want the same people's hands on the wheel that got us here in the first place. Like, that's my whole takeaway on that. And then when I say that, a surprising number of expansionists look at me and say, okay, at least I can acknowledge that. And then I don't actually know where it goes from there, because it's not like any of us have the power to change that.
Well, and I know you love college football, obviously. We all love college football. It's our favorite sport. But the thing is frustrating, Josh, no other sport has this thing where they just completely rework their postseason format like every 10 years or so. You know, we had the old bowl style that we grew up with, the old bowl system. Then you had the Bowl Alliance. Remember the Alliance? You had the BCS, the plus one, the playoff. Now we have an expanded playoff. And, you know, I realize we're dealing with universities and school presidents and even governments, and it can get hairy, right? But basketball doesn't have these issues. They've got the tournament. They might expand it occasionally, but it's still the tournament. You know, the base thing doesn't change. Why can't we get college football on the same page?
Well, the reason I would push back with is because you said the right word. You said the base thing. Well, the base, you know, the foundation of college basketball is March Madness, is the NCAA tournament. The postseason is the base. And I'm not a fan of the postseason being the base of college football. Like, I think it's a great regular season sport. And I am not of the opinion, which I get disagreement on, but I am not of the opinion that it's just this foregone conclusion that expanding something makes the regular season more enticing. And I know what people mean when they say that. I don't think it's going to work out like those folks think it's going to work out. But I, you know, I had this long talk with someone earlier today about this, and I told them, when anyone mentions pro sports or college basketball in comparison to college football, when they say things like, well, the NFL does it, well, college basketball does it, why can't college football? I kind of just take a step back, and I know that conversation is not going to go anywhere because I don't even view those entities as existing in the same galaxy. They don't even – it's not even apples to oranges. It's like apples to bowling balls, and there are so many differences, both wholesale and nuanced, within college football than there are those other sports, that I think it has to be treated in a vacuum on its own.
Sure. I just think it's interesting. You know, you don't hear anybody say, well, in college sports, we should completely redo March Madness. As a matter of fact, you hear people saying that in the game, and I think most of the fans say, no, stop, leave it alone. It's great the way it is. Nobody's talking about, oh, the College World Series ought to be expanded from 8 teams to, you know, 16 teams or something like that. People just love it the way it is. At college football, like, again, great sport. We all love it. We're all the same, singing out of the same songbook here, I think. But when it comes to that postseason, everybody's got a different opinion. Nobody's happy.
Yeah, I think here's the other thing that I used to say at the time, so it's not revisionist history for me. You know, when we were in that BCS era, there would be a lot of upset people at the end of the year. But you would never have anyone calling games meaningless, and you never had players opting out. Like those, what we call the New Year's Six games, those things were all big. They were spectacles. It was a big deal, even if you weren't in the BCS title game. And I remember when the proposal started getting made to expand the playoff or to create a playoff. And I remember at the time thinking to myself, what's the justification? And the justification used to be, well, you've got all these people who are upset at the end of the year. And I remember thinking to myself, is that the worst thing in the world? Is it the worst thing in the world for people to be mad at the end of the year because the standard was so incredibly high that your team didn't make it? I would much rather have that world where everything else maintains its meaning than lowering the bar a little bit or expanding the playoff at the expense of completely crucifying bowl season to its very foundation.
Josh Pate, host of The Late Kick, with us this afternoon on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Josh, moving along here, before I get your thoughts on Hugh Freeze being back in the SEC, are you surprised that Lane Kiffin did not take that Auburn job?
Yeah, I am, because I think he did take it initially, and I think that some time went by. I think enough people got in his ear, and I don't even mean his representation. I don't really think this was a Jimmy Sexton thing. I think a lot of his peers that he sought guidance from may have steered him a different direction, and in the end, he backed out. But, I mean, Hugh Freeze was not Auburn's first choice. Anyone who tells you otherwise is wrong. Lane Kiffin was their first choice, and he – I think agreed in principle and then backed out, and they went the Hugh Freeze route, and that is what it is. But yeah, I'm very surprised by that. And I don't think that the courtship of Lane Kiffin by other programs is over. But I think for the time being, yeah, he's still at Ole Miss for a little while.
The Auburn thing, you know, they fired Harsin, it seems like, months ago, and they had a lot of time, right? And it got hairy there with Kiffin. It got hairy with Freeze. They got a lot of blowback there, but they got it across the finish line. Is that just typical of Auburn? And keep in mind, this is Tennessee folks asking the question here, that they've become nothing is easy, it seems, down on the plains these days.
No, it's not. So it would have, I guess it should have surprised us more if things went smoothly. This Freeze thing's interesting, though. You know, there is there is significantly more pushback for different reasons than your typical hire. Sometimes the pushback is just, we don't think this guy's a good enough football coach. And there may be some who think that about Freeze, but a vast majority of the people questioning the hire are not questioning his football acumen. They're questioning extracurriculars, off-the-field stuff. And I get it. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. I listen to people criticize this process with him not having to suffer consequences for his actions, and I'm not really sure what that means, only because I ask, where has he been the last 6 years? Like, since we saw him at Ole Miss, did I miss it? Did he jump right to another Power 5 job, making $8 to $10 million a year? I don't think he did. He was out of the sport, and then he went to Liberty. And he had to basically come back up the ladder. Did he get a more cushy landing than a normal person would? Yeah, he sure did, because he's capable of doing something at a high level that most of society can't do. So in that sense, he got treated no different than a high-level banker would or a pop star would. That's just the way the world works. So I look at him in that lens, and I say, what are we talking about that should warrant a lifetime ban on this guy? Because everyone who pushes back, I've asked the same thing. What do you think he should have to do? Do you think he should be out of the sport forever? Like, is that what you're suggesting? And they kind of hem-haw around. Very few of them have said, yes, that's what I think. If you think that, you think that, and we just disagree. If you've got a legitimately serious, well-thought-out problem with him from a moral and ethical standpoint being the head coach of a program, that's fine. I'll listen to you, and we'll just disagree. I just think a lot of the noise you've heard surrounding this hire have come from a couple of groups. The first group is people who learned everything they know about Hugh Freeze in the last 72 hours, and they just want to be heard. There's another group out there who is kind of more activist-minded, and they're probably not even involved in football. They probably don't watch football. They just see this as the next cause to jump aboard. And then the third group is the group that just philosophically disagrees. But I think that third group is infinitely smaller than the first two groups. I think it's going to die down significantly, and the moment that guy wins 10 games down there, he will be heralded, and you will not hear much of a peep about the things you're hearing about right now.
Yeah, and he's got his cross to bear, right? I mean, people remember that, and I'm sure it will be used against him in some form or fashion on the recruiting trail. Who knows how effective, if at all, that'll be. All I know is, you know, Rick Pitino came back from all his stuff, and that's not what got him at Louisville, Josh. So Hugh Freeze, young man, he's 53 years old, man. I'd say he's probably got a few good seasons left in him.
Well, I would look at his face. You know, you mentioned his age there. Hugh Freeze looks older than 53 to me now. And the last time I saw him, he did not look older than 47. So if you want to talk about a price being paid, I would look at the guy, and I would look at how much this is worn on him. I'm not trying to make him a victim. Trust me. I'm not trying to do that at all. I'm not carrying water for the guy. I'm just saying, if you think that guy has lived a guilt-free life, if you don't think that there's been a penance to be paid, not just by him, but his family because of the position he put them in, you're crazy. If you don't think it's enough, okay. But man, I'm not going to listen to people say, oh, he got off scot-free. He hasn't had to pay any price for what he did. Yeah, he has.
Seems like just at the end of the day, Josh, it's a situation where they need each other, right? Auburn needs that guy, and he needs to be back in this. Like, you could tell, like, he's wanted to be back in this league for a long time. We've all heard the rumors of the jobs that he's applied for and the impediments to him getting them. And it just seems like at the end of the day, these two were not going to not come together after Lane Kiffin turned it down.
Well, here's what's amazing. So I know why they couldn't hire him a couple of years ago. I know the league probably had a lot to do with that. But it's just amazing when you go back to Malzahn and Malzahn being fired. I got a lot of blowback when I said I thought Auburn was making the wrong decision to fire Gus Malzahn. And all people wanted to do was throw their results in my face. I knew what the results were. I knew the program was cratering at the time. I knew all that. But here's what else I knew. I knew that guy had beaten Nick Saban thrice, if you will. I know that's very hard to do. And I also was the person who said, I'm not arguing things are bad right now. What I'm asking is, do you have a definitive upgrade? If you do, make the move. If you don't make the move. To me, coaching moves are that simple. They didn't have a definitive upgrade. Brian Harsin was not a definitive upgrade. They fired him, it feels like 5 minutes later. Now they've hired Hugh Freeze. I would look at their respective track records. Is Hugh Freeze a definitive upgrade from Gus Malzahn historically? The answer is no. And this is why you got to be very, very sure before you fire a head coach. It's not Xbox. You don't just get to hit the reset button. There is a price to be paid because it's really hard to find good ones no matter how much money you're paying.
Yeah, we know that here in Knoxville.
Yeah, I forgot. My bad. I forgot who I was talking to for a second.
We've lived it. Josh, great stuff, my friend. Always appreciate your time. Thank you for jumping on. At Late Kick Josh, go follow him on Twitter. Of course, Late Kick. You can watch it live on YouTube. You can listen to it wherever you listen to podcasts. Josh Pate, thanks so much.
I appreciate it, guys.
Yep, Josh Pate, one more time. On the Big Orange Phillies phone lines, you can check out Big Orange Phillies for all your college football action, although I guess that's rapidly running out. Hey, we got NFL. We got that for you Thursday night. We got that for you on the weekend. We got your championship games. It's all for you at Big Orange Phillies. Go enjoy a big juicy burger, some awesome chicken wings, or maybe a signature Philly cheesesteak sandwich. Oh, yeah, they got it over at Big Orange Phillies, 6625 Manderville Pike in Halls. Check out the full menu online at BigOrangePhillies.com. Quick timeout. All right, when we continue, we're going to get Jeff in here from G&J Auto, give away another free window tint on this final free window tint Wednesday of the year of our Lord 2022. Oh, it's going to be fantastic. One more segment to go. Let's finish in style next here on Fan Run Radio. Wrapping up Wednesday evening edition of the show, Russell Beer and Marcus back with you. One more segment. We've got Jeff from G&J. We're going to give away our final free window tent of the year. Before we do that, Josh Pate of the Late Kick. Bear, what did you learn?
That in Josh's estimation, I'm in a group of people that philosophically just disagree with the Hugh Freeze hire.
Oh, I knew you were stewing.
No, I really wasn't. He had some well thought out things, and I didn't want to. I mean, we get him. He's very gracious with us for his time. So I'm not going to get into a knockdown drag out debate.
Well, it's
Josh.
A good question. You're as anti Hugh Freeze as anybody I know. What do you think? Do you think he should never be allowed to coach in the SEC again?
I just, me personally,
yeah.
I don't think he should be coaching, period. I just don't think he's – I don't think he should be allowed to be in any kind of position where he's leading young men. Mm. And it's not – mine's got – I mean, it's got something to do with the Ole Miss stuff, but that's not just it with me and him. So
with you and him.
Yeah, my issues with him and my
– situation.
Well, no, I mean, it's nothing personal. I think he's I don't think he's a very good person. But that's all Derek Dooley noted.
Let's bring in a very good person.
Heck yeah.
He's my friend Jeff Davis from over at G&J Auto Graphics, and he is on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines with us. Jeff, what's up?
Russ, pleasure to be here, brother. How are you guys?
Hey, man, doing well. I can't believe this is the last free window tint Wednesday giveaway of the year.
Oh, just in time for the holidays, my friend. What a great time of the year. The most wonderful time of the year, they say.
Yeah, that's what they say, absolutely. It's been fun, man. What a great promotion. It's a great idea you guys had. When you were like, hey, man, I want to give away free window tints every Wednesday. I'm like, every Wednesday? He's like, yeah, I want to do it twice every Wednesday. I want to give it two. I was like, are you crazy? Like, that's a crazy idea. But you guys were all about it. I'm glad that it's worked out for you guys and for us and for our audience, our listeners. Man, we've had so many people that have been able to take advantage of this, and it's pretty cool, man. I've not heard a single complaint, man. People love it.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I think the end of the day is we, you know, it's the for us at G&J, it's the community first. It's the Tennessee Volunteers first, you know, and business second. If we get to work with great people in the community, get to have great conversations about sports, talk shop, have a great time, you know, and if business comes from if business can come from that, you know, that's icing on the cake. But a big, strong core value at G&J is really, you know, if you genuinely like us as people, you're going to do business with us regardless. And that's been a big goal for us this past couple of years here in Knoxville.
Man, it's such a great philosophy because you guys are still new. Like, you've been in business for 2 or 3 years now here in East Tennessee, and it's hard, man, when you're starting up and you're starting from scratch, and you've got to build customers and doing stuff like just giving away work, man. I mean, that's the way to get out there and get the word out. Hey, these guys are good dudes. They do good work, not just window tints. If you've got paint protection things that you want to get taken advantage of, they've got it for you. GNJAuto.com is the website. But it's the window tints that we've been talking about all fall long, and we've got one more to give away tonight, Jeff. One more time, for old time's sake, reach into that box, pick us out a winner. Who are we giving free tinted windows to this week?
This is the last one of the football season. This is a tearjerker. It is a tearjerker.
Oh, man, one more time. Where does the time
all
go?
All right. The winner is Mr. Jeremy Faust.
Hey, Faust. Well done.
What do we think Jeremy drives, guys?
U-S-T. Yeah, what do you think? You guys give it a guess.
Mm.
Jeremy Faust.
A Lambo.
A Lambo? Faust? I'm going to say like a 4Runner or Pathfinder, some type of SUV.
That's a pretty good guess there, my friend. Mr. Faust drives a 2016 Dodge Journey, which is a Pathfinder equivalent on the Dodge side of the fence.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
That's what Rick Miller drives.
Very nice. I think this guy, I might be wrong. I think this guy won some basketball tickets from us a couple of weeks ago to a UT basketball game. So if it's the same guy, this dude is balling
right
now.
He's on a roll.
Fan running. He's killing it.
He's going to look good rolling up to the game.
He's had a good couple weeks here, man.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, so that's cool, man. If it's a different Faust, we appreciate him and everybody who signed up for the free window tint Wednesday giveaway. I'd say this promotion has been a raging success, Jeff. And now I guess you and I, we got to put our heads together and come up with something new for basketball.
Well, we got weather. We got lots of weather coming up in the winter. G&J Auto Graphics, particularly for the paint protection of the vehicles, as you mentioned, the clear bra film, the ceramic coatings. As we get into the colder months, you get the road salts and the debris from the weather on the road. You know, there's something pretty sexy we can work on there. We got a basketball season here to root for also, you know.
Yeah, man, we got a good team up to number 13 in the polls. Just won the battle for the Bad Boy Mowers battle for Atlantis last week down there in the Bahamas. So Tennessee basketball riding high, baseball team under Tony Vitello doing big things. So we'll come up with something good for our listening audience with G&J Auto. Jeff, appreciate you, my friend. We got to get together soon and hang. It's been a while, but thanks again. Yeah, thanks for everything you guys at G&J do, man. We really appreciate this.
We love you, Fan Radio, and we can't wait to see what the future has to come for us. Godspeed.
We're not going forever, man. I'll see you soon.
Yeah.
Godspeed, he said.
Jeff Davis.
Thanks,
character.
Man.
That ceramic coating is interesting. I was listening to him describe it to John and Cody earlier.
Yeah. That's a big thing.
I'm going to have it done on mine. I've got the newer car. New to me, Russ.
Yeah, you got to paint. Well, they got it. They remove all the contaminants from your car, get it nice and smooth, and then they, like, paint it on. And it's like ceramic. It's like a layer of glass. It's like this might be a terrible analogy, but like a phone protector?
Yeah, basically it's a clear coat protective. It protects your paint and everything from – like he was talking about, that stuff they put on the roads, they call it salt. That's, I guess, loosely what it is. But that stuff will eat your car up, especially your paint.
Got to get a good undercarriage wash.
If you're like me, frugal, and don't like, you know, you don't want to I like keeping a car for a long time, Russ, if I find one I like. We make sure your ride looks good.
No doubt. So, as we put the finishing touches on another stellar edition of The Drive here on Fan Run Radio, get set to hand things off to the Overtime Boys. See if I missed anything from my notes earlier today. No, I think we hit on all the pertinent talking points, as they say. We even worked in the Cocaine Bear trailer. That's good. Oh, we still have Trey?
Yeah.
My bad. Trey, I'm sorry for the wait. Yeah, let's get Trey in here.
Hey, fellas.
Cocaine Bear. What's up, Trey?
Hey, no worries. I just enjoy chilling, listening to you guys on my drive home. But, you know, I got to agree with Josh Payne. It sounds like he's kind of sounding off a little bit against the playoff man in favor of bowls. Dude, nobody cares about bowls. I mean, if your team's in it, great. You know, people will take an extra game. I mean, it's more football. That's the only reason that it matters. But the playoff is a far superior product. And, guys, it's really simple how you fix it. I don't know why we completely rewrote the book when we went to the playoff. You bring back the BCS rankings, or you make a newer version of that with updated metrics, and you make it a logical decision, and you don't have 12 idiots in a room giving their opinion that changes every week.
Yeah.
It's really that simple.
The only problem, Trey, is that we already had that idea earlier. An alert listener, I can't remember who it was, tweeted it to us. They've run those things, and it's remarkably similar to what came out last night.
That's fine, Bear. That's fine. I'm okay with that, though. That I am okay with versus some random dude be like, well, their quarterback's hurt. That knocks them down a notch and completely ignores the criteria on paper. A computer doesn't do that. If we got ranked seventh by a computer, I would say that's fair because I know that every other team on that list is being graded the exact same way. And I think that puts to bed a lot of the ambiguity and mystery of the committee. I mean, that sounds like something out of communist China. The committee? Come on now. This is America. Let's get that crap out of here. Let's get a fair system where everybody's viewed that, you know, viewed the same way. And let's make this simple. It's not that hard, guys. It's really not. So
Trey, I've got a lot of thoughts on that, but we're out of time, my friend. Appreciate you jumping in. Perhaps we'll pick up on that tomorrow when we reconvene here on many of these fine Fan Run affiliates at approximately 3 p.m. Eastern time. For Bear and Marcus, I'm Russell Smith. Have a great evening. We'll do it again tomorrow right here on Fan Run Radio.